above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all. Teach me to number all my days. It won't be long now till I see your face. Counting all I've gained as loss, I'm pressing on till I see you, Jesus. The day of gladness is drawing close. The day you'll come and welcome us home. Eternity is on my heart to see your beauty, not just in part. Let's sing this chorus. All joy will be see.
whispers. Only by your cross, your blood, can I enter, can I come with redemption in your eyes. Lord, you came, our sacrifice.
Let's sing. All joy will be,
all joy.
Let's sing it again.
All joy will be complete. All pain will finally leave. When we see Him, when we see Him, no need for tears or fear.
Yes,
we'll know that He is near. When we see
sing like this.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Sing that again. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
There is an army rising up, say.
There's an army rising up.
Yes.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Sing, I hear it.
If you've been with us, you know that we've sung this song many times. But the thought that came to me even as we're singing it now was, have you ever paused in the middle of the day to say, God, I need you to break these chains right now? And maybe we've sung this song, but what I'm calling us to in this moment is to say, to use our own words, to find your own words in this moment and say, God, I'm so desperate. I am lost without you. If you don't change me, my life is sunk. So tell him in your own words and say, God, I need you to break every chain represented. And when you watch this today, I believe it's not just a song you're singing. It's not just a song you're hearing, but we're inviting the very power of God to come in right now in that living room to break every chain, to break every chain. For there is healing, there is freedom. In the name of Jesus, sing this verse with me. Say,
there is healing in the name of Jesus.
We believe it. We believe it. I believe it. Sing like this with me. Say,
hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
One more time.
March of 2020, everything changed. There were a lot of things that we couldn't do anymore, and going to kids' church was one of those things.
So because we couldn't go to kids' church,
kids' church came to us.
All right, let's worship. Ready?
we still got to worship. We still got to be celebrated.
Going down.
Happy birthday to all my birthday friends.
We still got to play games.
We still got to dance.
We still got to laugh.
Oh! This get hippity hoppity
and a who?
Oh, that's booger.
Let's go, Micah.
Oh, yes!
As much as we loved Kids Church coming to us,
and trust me, we loved it.
It's been so awesome to get to come back to Kids Church in person. To see our friends. To play and laugh.
To worship, to learn, and to grow.
A lot has changed over the past year, and we've heard that's going to be true for the rest of our lives. But we know some things that will never change.
Want to hear them?
Get ready, it's good stuff.
In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world.
God has a plan and a purpose for all of us.
Don't worry, because God will supply you with everything you need.
And he also always keeps his promises.
God will help you through those tough problems.
Don't forget that God is with you.
And here's one more thing we know is true.
We know that no matter what, Kids Church is here for us.
To teach and remind us about a God who is always good. And who loves us more than we can even imagine.
That was such a great Kids Church video. We just love our Kids Church team here at Christian Assembly. Kids Church serves children from birth through fifth grade, both online and in person. If you're someone attending in person, stop by the Kids Church check-in area for more information or to take a tour. And if you want more information online or would like to serve, go to our website. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Ralph. I'm so glad you joined us for worship. If you are new or visiting, I want to extend a special welcome. You can go to cachurch.com or to our mobile app for more information about all that we do here at CA. And if you would like a personal welcome, fill out an online connection card. You are invited to our Compelled Kingdom Conference happening next week. It will help equip you to live out your kingdom calling in your everyday life. Register online. Fusion, our community of 18 to 35-year-olds, and our Sunday 6 p.m. service is looking for a woman's community life pastor. Candidates should be passionate about raising up disciples, recruiting life group leaders, and developing life groups for young adults. Go online for more information or to apply. If you would like to give a tithe or offering, you can do so online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website, by clicking on the Give tab. And thank you for your generosity. Would you join me as I pray? Lord, thank you for all the ways you provide for us, your children. We pray that you would use these gifts given back to you to impact your church and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited to share that we have a special treat for you, a song written by two sisters, Hannah and Denise, who are part of our CA student ministry, which they performed last weekend at our in-person services. It was such a hit that we wanted to share it with you today. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this.
During COVID and quarantine, life is very stressful. And during one of those stressful moments, the chorus of the song popped in my head, and it comforted me and it calmed me down. It was stuck in my head for weeks, and I felt God telling me to write it down and write the rest of the song. It is called Loved by You, and I hope you are blessed by it.
I was family, and I
Hey, welcome everybody to my CA family. Great to be with you. Any visitors or guests, what an honor that you've chosen to join us during this time. And before we jump into the teaching, I just want to encourage you, every weekend at the in-person services, there are more and more people that are saying, hey, this is my first weekend back in person. I want to encourage you, if you're local in LA, to join us in person on the weekends. I know some of you are out of town, maybe others have a health reason that you're not able to, but I want to encourage you to be with us in person. There's something that's just powerful when we're worshiping together and just all the intangible interactions that happen when we're together in that way. So I want to encourage you to join us either Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday, 9 a.m., Sunday, 11:15 a.m., or for our 6 p.m. Fusion service as well. Well, let's jump in. Last week, we started a brand new series entitled God is Blank, helping us know God better by knowing who God says God is. Well, the date was April 23rd, 1985, and one of the greatest corporate blunders of all time occurred in our country. Do you know what it was? Got your guess? It was the introduction of New Coke. Bit of backstory here. In the late 1950s, Coke outsold Pepsi by more than 5-to-1 ratio. But fast forward a decade and Pepsi had cut Coke's lead in half. So what was Coke to do about it? They had been telling Americans for decades that Coke was, quote, the real thing. That was their slogan. It's the real thing, the original. But as Coke saw it, they figured that they needed a new recipe. And it was the first recipe change for Coke since 1903 when they removed cocaine from the original recipe. So Coke felt it would be too confusing to have two directly competing recipes on the shelf. So it decided to stop producing Coca-Cola and to introduce New Coke. They thought that their new recipe would beat out Pepsi in a taste test, so problem solved, right? Or so they thought. They introduced it on April 23rd, 1985, and New Coke was an unmitigated, complete disaster. Tens of thousands of calls a day came into the corporate headquarters. There were threats from customers to boycott this. And ultimately, if you tell the world that you're the real thing, then you can't come up later with the new real thing, right? If you weren't alive back then, ABC News anchor Peter Jennings actually broke into the daytime soap opera General Hospital to report the breaking development that Coca-Cola was moving back to its original soft drink formula and bringing the original back to the market. Well, upon switching back to its original formula, its sales and its market share went up higher than even before. Now, if you've seen the most recent new ad campaign, Coke is currently changing its Coke Zero formula with the ad campaign saying, "Is this the best Coke ever?" So apparently, Coke is a bit insecure, unsure of who it should be. But God is not like Coke. God is steadfast. Let's consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, I'm so grateful that you reveal yourself to us, that we don't have to guess at who you are, but you share what you're like, what your attributes, what your characteristics are like, so that we can come to know you in a personal, growing relationship, and all the good that that brings into our life, and all the good that then unleashes from our lives into the lives of others. So God, as we come to you today, would you speak to us from your word, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, each week in this new series, we are filling in the God is blank. We're doing so with words that God uses to describe or reveal himself to us. So then it's not our best guess of what we think God is like. It is God's revelation of who he is. One of the regular ways that God reveals himself to us is that he is steadfast or unchanging. Biblical theologians have a term for it. They call it immutable, that God is immutable, meaning that he never mutates or never changes. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, God's word tells us this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. You know, strange teachings have always been around because of people's sin and because of Satan's deceptions and lies. In fact, every generation has people who take it upon themselves to seek to edit out God's self-revelation, editing from that the features that they, in their ignorance or in their arrogance, deem objectionable to them. And then they think that they know the truth and they know the reality better than God has already revealed it. It's laughable if it weren't so sad. You see, when we try to edit God's word to filter out that which we deem to be objectionable, it's actually a sign of believing a lie. That's why James chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says it this way: Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, and here it is, who does not change like shifting shadows. Do not be deceived. Remember our last series where we talked about winning the war in our minds? It begins with replacing the lies that we can be deceived by with God's truth. So don't be deceived. The truth is that God does not change. God never looks at his character, his nature, or his promises and says, well, that was then and this is now. In God, there are no shifts, there are no shadows, there are no variations. His perfection, his promises, and his purposes never change. Now, don't get confused. This doesn't mean that God is some type of cold-hearted robot. The Bible makes it clear that he acts in response to different situations, that as he does that, that he feels emotions. But what God is revealing that is that his unchanging character and nature is steadfast. You know, if God's character was changeable, there would really only be two options, right? Either one, it would improve, or two, it would deteriorate. Last week, we looked at God's holiness, his wholeness, his perfection, his flawlessness. How do you improve on perfection? It's not possible. We say to one another, boy, you sure are growing. And that means you're changing or you're improving. Or Apple holds an annual event to unveil their new and improved iPhones. You know, you can improve on Coke and you can improve on cars and you can even improve on people, but you can't improve on God. There's no such thing as God 2.0. God doesn't get a bigger screen or a better camera. He never needs a security patch or a better battery life. The flavor of his character can never be updated. You know, many of the characteristics of God we can relate to. For example, if I say to you that God is kind or merciful or compassionate or joyful, all things that God's word says that he is, we can more or less understand those things because we too have experienced all of those things in lesser degrees. But when God says that he's unchanging, none of us have ever experienced that, even in a lesser way. A.W. Tozer once said it this way, "The immutability of God appears in its most perfect beauty when viewed against the mutability of people." In God, no change is possible. In people, change is impossible to escape. Neither a person is fixed, nor their world around them. Both the person and the world around them are always in constant flux. So God's character cannot improve, but it also cannot deteriorate. One of the places that God tells us this is through the prophet Malachi. And as we saw last week, God is holy. So as we pick up the story here with Malachi, he's angry because of all of the wickedness that is happening in the nation of Israel at the time of this prophet was alive. So we pick it up in Malachi chapter 3, verse 5 and on. It says, "So I will come to you," God is speaking, "and I will put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers and adulterers and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty." Here it is. "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty." You know, the first part, God is laying out the wickedness and the sin of the people. That's an offense to the fact that God is just, which we're going to look at in greater detail next weekend. But then he says, "I, the Lord, do not change." In other words, these descendants of Jacob are not completely destroyed because, as Romans 11 says, quote, "they are loved on account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable," meaning unchanging. So how does the fact that God is steadfast, that he's unchanging, he's immutable, translate to our everyday life? How does it make a difference in our everyday life? Well, three different ways. The first way is this: because God is steadfast, you can build a secure relationship with him. Have you ever tried to relate to someone who is so dramatically and emotionally volatile that you never really know what version of them you're going to get from day to day? Maybe one day they're in a great mood and the next day they're in a horrible one, and your relationship kind of rides the roller coaster unless you have great boundaries, right? But God is not like that. In coming to God, we never have to wonder what version of God we'll get or what kind of mood he's in today. God does not keep office hours or set aside periods of time where he will see no one. You never have to wonder if God's going to keep his word or if it's still relevant to your life. You never have to wonder if God means what he says. You know, we humans, we can become unfaithful for a lot of reasons, out of desire or fear or sin or weakness or loss of interest or many other reasons, but God is not like us in those ways. You see, in a world where people may forget us or change their attitudes towards us because their private interests change, or maybe revise their opinion about us for the slightest reason, isn't it a source of wondrous strength to know that God is steadfast? You never have to guess whether sin is still sin. You never have to guess if God is receptive to sinners who want to come back to him. As we just read in Malachi 3, even after laying out all the sin of the people, God says, "I, the Lord, do not change. Return to me, and I will return to you." His attitude towards sin is now the same as it was when he drove out sinful Adam and Eve eastward from the garden. And his attitude towards the sinner is the same when he stretched forth his hands and invited, saying, "Come to me, all of you who labor and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." How do we know that? Because God is steadfast. He's unchanging. He's immutable. The second thing we see is this, is that because God is steadfast, you can expect God to be at work in your generation. You know, in several places throughout God's word, God connects his unchanging nature, promises, and plans with the generations. This isn't just once, it happens repeatedly. For example, in Psalm 33, verse 11, we read, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." So God's plan stands for every generation, not just one or two special ones. It's not like God is just really into the boomers, but he hates Gen X, or he just really loves Gen X, but he can't stand the millennials or Gen Z, or he really loves millennials or Gen Z, but he hates the boomers. Or that God was the real thing in the generations of the Bible, but somehow he's less on his throne now. God doesn't spend all of his time wondering why the younger generations are so into wearing hoodies whenever it's 100 degrees outside. And likewise, God never dismissively says, "Okay, boomer." Boomer, Gen X, millennial, Gen Z. I use these labels because we all know what they mean. But let's be clear. Those labels were created by marketers, not by God. God never looks at me as Gen X. He looks at me and says, "Tom, the plans of my heart is for your generation too. And not just yours, but the generations ahead of you too and behind you as well." Yes, of course, there can be specific joys and challenges and circumstances that each generation faces. But God's word says in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, his mercy extend to those who fear him from generation to generation. In other words, I don't really care what generation you are, because God's mercy extends to you if you fear him, regardless of your generation. And yes, there are times where God disciplines his people for their sin, like in the days of Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations. But then Jeremiah says in chapter 5, verse 19 of that book, "You, Lord, reign forever." And here it is again, "Your throne endures from generation to generation." I get excited about this because the three verses that I just cited say that God's plan, God's mercy, and God's throne endures. It is steadfast from generation to generation. And that makes me expectant and prayerful about what God wants to do in our time on earth. You know, sometimes God's unchanging purposes can be at work in our generation, but we can miss it if we're not careful. For example, this summer, our church was involved in something called the One Day LA campaign, which originally was planned for the summer of 2020, but because of COVID, it had to be pushed back into the summer of 2021. And the leadership of our church was involved in the planning of that behind the scenes and much more. But rather than me tell you about all that happened, take a look at this 4-minute video that helps capture what happened across our city, Los Angeles, and now is being told across the world.
So you have over 86 different service locations. We call them serve centers, which is our hub of service that is being activated all week. You have people that are doing sports clinics. You have people that are doing medical brigades. You have people doing beautification projects.
It's pretty incredible to think about 650 different organizations working together for one moment in one day.
We've got hundreds of people here today.
Oh, yeah, hundreds.
Yes. It is amazing. I can't express the excitement that I have and seeing so many volunteers helping out and beautifying our school for our kids.
Hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that have been here today, really embracing our community again. Nothing like this has ever happened here at Bell Gardens High School.
This is also really nice. A superstar, Justin Bieber, headlining a concert this weekend at SoFi Stadium, but the tickets aren't on sale.
No. The Freedom Experience is the payoff for just one day of volunteering in Los Angeles.
One day away, make some noise!
This room united to love this city. Thousands volunteered all week. Why we love Los Angeles so much is because we profoundly believe that God, through his son Jesus, loves Los Angeles so much.
Bible says God came in the person of Jesus and he never committed one wrong act. He was perfect. He was sinless. He said, I'm going to die for your error and your wrong and your sin. Then all you've got to do is receive it. All you've got to do is accept it. You are forgiven. You are accepted. You are loved. You are God's. You are in the palm of his hand. I'm telling you, we got good news out here. We got good news. I'm going to become one of those Jesus people. I'm going to become one of those Jesus followers. I guess this is my time where I become a Christian.
For us, we really wanted to transform SoFi Stadium into a studio. We didn't want to just impact thousands of people that gathered. We wanted to impact millions of people watching across America and even across the world.
A live concert at the new SoFi Stadium tonight.
Featuring artists like the community of Los Angeles, Rally Lee.
Isn't it amazing? Over 20,000 volunteers serving through over 700 nonprofits made a difference everywhere, from issues of homelessness to foster care, the prison system, and much more. Now, it's been about 2 months since the Freedom Experience has been recorded and placed up on YouTube. And as of last count, just under 1.6 million people have viewed it online. And people can call in or text in for prayer or to give their lives to Christ. In fact, it's the Billy Graham Association who's handling the phone lines for this. The team we worked with is pulling this together, is considering doing similar campaigns in future other large cities across America. You see, because God is steadfast, His purposes stand for every generation. Be prayerful, be on the lookout, and do your part to join God at work in our time and our generation. Because it was Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who said, "My Father's always working, and so am I." And because God's steadfastness, we can expect Him to work around us too, even in our generation, even in our time. The third thing that we see is this: because God is steadfast, you can be secure in the face of changing circumstances. One of the images or metaphors that God gives us to help us understand that He is immutable or unchanging or steadfast is the image of a rock. For example, in Isaiah chapter 26, we read, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal." Years ago, I took a group of high school students whitewater rafting on the Youghiogheny River, which is in western Pennsylvania. And one of the worst rapids for dumping rafts was called Dimple Rock. So it's right in the middle of this kind of torrential, raging river. And the way this particular rock is shaped, if your raft hits it, the part of your raft that hits it won't just bounce off it. It will actually start to climb up the rock, which lowers the upside river side of the boat, which then the entire whitewater enters into your boat, and it violently flips your raft upside down. So the goal was to get through this rapid, was to not let your raft hit the rock, because the rock isn't going to move and your raft is going to flip. But I was with this group of high school students, and they thought it would be funny to see if that would really happen. So despite my paddling like crazy, they all disobeyed me, and their joint paddling effort ensured that we, in fact, hit the rock. And I remember my last thought as our raft was flipping over and I was going underwater in this whitewater rafted, I remember thinking, if these kids don't drown, I'm going to kill them after this, right? Now, we all made it through okay. But I'll never forget the way that one kid named Kyle made it through, because he made it through in a different way than the rest of us. Apparently, whenever the raft started to climb the rock and it was clear that we're all about to flip out into the water, he instinctively, in a panic, jumped out of the raft and onto the rock. So there he was in the middle of the raging whitewater river, standing on the top of Dimple Rock. And once I recovered and I came back up, I said to the guide, "Is he safe?" To which the guide responded, "So long as he stands firm on that rock, he is. That rock isn't going anywhere." Now, of course, we did send down a raft to let him jump into so he could continue the trip with us. But that image of Kyle in the middle of the raging whitewater, but being perfectly secure, is forever seared in my mind. You see, God's unchanging, immutable character is like the rock that keeps us secure when the whitewater of changing circumstances surround us in life. In fact, that's why Psalm 112, verse 7 says it this way: "Those who fear the Lord will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting the Lord to care for them." And that's why Jesus, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, can say not only to one generation, but to every generation. In Matthew 7, verse 24, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse. Why? Because it is built on bedrock. You see, in a world of constant change, our God is the unchanging, steadfast, immutable rock. Not just at one time, but at all times. Not just for one generation, but for every generation. Not just when circumstances are smooth, but when they're in constant flux. And because God is unchanging, we can rest secure. Will you pray with me? God, we come to you now and ask that you would apply your word to our hearts, our minds, and our lives. I want to speak to those of you who maybe are spiritually unconvinced. And I want to give you an opportunity to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As we just heard, you can trust him. He's unchanging. He is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. And as we just heard, God has said, return to me and I will return to you. And if that's you, you're saying, I want to come to God. Maybe for the very first time. Maybe others of you, you've walked away from God. You want to come back. You need to hear God say, return to me and I will return to you. And you can pray right now and say, God, I'm saying yes to you. I'm placing my faith and my hope and my trust not in all of the unchanging, not in all the changing circumstances around me or the changing people around me, but in you, the only one who is unchanging, you, the only one who is steadfast. And I ask that you would save me, make me secure, trusting in your character and nature. Teach me how to follow you all the days of my life. And let me experience the joy and security that comes from being in a secure relationship with you. If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Others of you, you're saying, God, I'm coming back. As your word says, God, return to me and I will return to you. Some of you, in the sound of my voice, you need to return to God. You've tried other things, but you've seen they're just shifting sands. So now come back to God, the only one who's unchanging, the only one who can give you the security you long for. Others of us, we need to expect to see God at work in our time, in our generation. In fact, God, right now we join together. We pray for the youngest in our church to the oldest, from the youngest in our city to the oldest. God, give us a spirit of reverence for you. Extend your mercy, your purposes, and your plans for us. Remind us again that you don't just reign in one generation, but you reign from generation to generation. And God, let us do our part to share the goodness of who you are and the fact of your unchanging nature and how secure that can make us, and that we can be expectant that you're at work even our generation, both in our city, our families, and around the globe, to move forward your purposes and your plan. Let that make us hopeful and joyful and expectant. And lastly, everyone, let me just ask you in a prayerful way, what circumstances are you facing right now that you need to entrust to God? God's word says that you don't have to be fearful of bad news, that you can trust God to be steadfast in his care for you. In fact, if you're honest with yourself, and I know I'm like this sometimes, you might do a little self-reflection and you might discover that parts of you has a shaky or a worried spirit. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer after me that King David once prayed in Psalm 51. He said, God, create in me a pure heart, O God. And here it is, renew a steadfast spirit within me. God can give you a steadfast spirit because he is steadfast and unchanging. God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. May it be so among each one of us. And as it is so, may we thank and praise you, our immutable, unchanging, and steadfast God. We thank you, God, that we don't have to guess who you are today, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what that means, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can contact us through the email or webpage listed below. And now let me close our time together with this benediction from 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. God bless you. See you next week.